I want to share something that I believe the Lord wants me to share with you today. My title is, There's a Greater Anointing on Your Future Than on Your Past. We'll talk about kind of what that means in a scriptural way. Our text will be from the book of Genesis, the 48th chapter. And I'm going to read you that chapter. Before I do, let me share something humorous. Three men were traveling together on a journey. One was a Hindu priest, one was a Jewish rabbi, and one was a televangelist. It was getting late, and they stopped for lodging at a farm. And the farmer said to him, well, I only have room in my house for two of you. One of you will have to stay in the barn. So the Hindu priest said, I'll do it. He goes out to the barn. A few minutes later, there's a knock on the door. The farmer opens it, and it's the Hindu priest, and he says, I can't stay in the barn. There's a cow there. And cows are sacred in my religion. So he came inside, and the Jewish rabbi said, okay, I'll go. He goes out into the barn to sleep, and a few minutes later, he comes, knocks on the door. He says, I can't stay in the barn. There's a pig there. And it's not kosher for me to sleep in a room with a pig. Finally, the televangelist says, okay, guys, I'll go. He goes out into the barn. A few minutes later, there's a knock on the door, and it's the pig and the cow. Now, I just want to say, I got that from Joel Osteen, the biggest televangelist in America. If he can make fun of himself, I can do it too. Genesis 48, verse 1, it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, your father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And Jacob was told, look, your son Joseph is coming to you. Man, do the generations need each other. And Israel strengthened himself and sat up in his bed. Jacob said to Joseph, Jacob and Israel is the same person. Israel is the name God gave him. Jacob's the name his parents gave him. God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. He said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you and make of you a multitude of people and give you this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. That's a repetition, a repeating, a reaffirming of the Abrahamic covenant given to Abraham, confirmed in Isaac, and now in Jacob. And now your two sons, he's looking at Joseph, he's prophesying, your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. He makes grandsons sons. Your offspring, whom you begot after them, shall be yours. Any more children will be your responsibility and in your realms of inheritance. They should be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. But as for me, now he's talking about his testimony. When I came from Padan, Rachel died beside me on the way in the land of Canaan. When it was just a little distance to go to Ephrath, so it's a tragic story. The love of his life died giving birth to Benjamin. I buried her there on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Then Israel saw, he had prophesied to these about these boys, then he sees them. Israel saw Joseph's sons say, who are these? Joseph said, these are my sons whom God has given me in this place. And Israel said, bring them close to me and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age. He could not see. Joseph brought them near him and Jacob kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face, but in fact, God has also shown me your offspring. So Jacob brought them from beside his knees, behind him and out front, and bowed down to the face of the earth. And Joseph took both of them, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand. So it's a position of honor. The double portion blessing comes from the right hand, so the oldest son would be positioned. So Joseph brings Manasseh toward the old man's right hand, and Ephraim, the second son, toward his left hand. Then Israel stretched out his hands and laid it on Ephraim's head. So here's the old man. Instead of touching the boy in front of him, he crosses up his hands. And he blesses the double portion on Ephraim, the second child, the second son. And the lesser blessing, still a blessing, on Manasseh. He guided his hands knowingly. The Holy Spirit directed him. For Manasseh was the firstborn. He blessed them and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel of the Lord who has redeemed me from evil, bless these lads. Let my name be named among them in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac. Let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now when Joseph saw that his father had laid the right hand on Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head and placed it on Manasseh, said the right child. And Joseph said, no, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put your hand on his head. And the old man said prophetically, the older child, he shall become a great people and do amazing things, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. So he blessed them, saying, by you, Israel, will bless, saying, may God make you like Ephraim and like Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Lord, thank you for your word. In these brief moments, anoint your servant, your people, and your word. Do miracles in this moment, I pray. Show the devils who's boss. Break curses. Release destiny. In the name of Jesus. Amen. This beautiful story I like for so many reasons, but I'm going to give you three of them, just three simple points. Number one, don't die full. Your assignment on earth is not fulfilled until you impart blessings to the next generations. The old man is dying, and he would have died, but someone made a demand on his blessing. Oh, there's so much there. And so our job as older people is to die empty, is to get everything out of us that God ever put into us for the generations behind us. Now, the older you get, the harder it is to do that because of infirmities, weakness, pain, injuries, all those things. But the old man, the Bible says this, he strengthened himself. And I just want to say to every person 50 and older, God's going to help you strengthen yourself in 2021 because we need you. The church needs you. Your family needs you. America needs you. The nation needs you. The world needs you. Needs your gift, your wisdom, the treasures of your life experience. In our culture, we throw old people away. But in the kingdom culture, God honors them and allows them to speak to the generations behind them. It's so important when Paul was talking to Timothy about his own story, and Paul said, I've run the race, I've finished the race, I fought the fight, good fight. All of a sudden, something kicks in, and he said, hey, bring me my empty parchment, bring me books, bring me my coat. He said, there's still something in me. And I just want you to know this, if you're alive on this earth right now, it's because we need you. Thank you, six of you. We need you. I put some scriptures in about David talked all the time in the book of Psalms about generational inheritance, blessing, and the importance of one generation passing their blessing to the next. That's what happened here in this verse. The old man pushed back death. Joseph made a demand on the couple points. If you're younger, if you're in your 30s and 20s, find someone old and learn from them. Exactly. All the old people. If you're over 50, do not disconnect your heart from the generations behind you, even if they vote differently than you. Even if they have different worldviews, your whole life means something. Well, Pastor, I had a lot of mistakes. Man, then tell people not to make them. Okay? Whether it's mistakes or victories, your life's testimony, there's power in your story, my friends. Don't die with a hidden story. Tell everybody your story. And I just want to say to young people, make sure that there's an honoring spirit in you. I know you have Google, but your grandparents know a lot. Your parents know a lot. And there's so much wisdom that's waiting to be called out. I want to pray this prayer over, if you're 50 or older, if you don't mind, would you stand up? 50 or older. Awesome. I want everybody that's not 50 or older to stretch your hands toward these beautiful people. Now here's my prayer. May God give you, like God gave Jacob, a supernatural resurgence of strength, so that you find both the mental, physical, and emotional capacity to bless your children, your grandchildren, and that generation they belong to. May God strengthen you where you've been hurt. May you push back the lies of that you can't die full. May God give you opportunities to father and mother people. May God give you opportunities to share your wisdom. May God give you opportunities to intercede on the behalf of a generation under assault. We need you. Your family needs you. The world needs you. This generation needs you. And we honor you in this moment and thank you. So many of you have lived for God for a very long time. Thank you for setting such a good example. Thank you for fighting for your marriages. Thank you for fighting to overcome when the devil tried to take you out with depression or trauma. Thank you for praying for people. Thank you for following Christ. Amen. Make sure the pain and burdens you carry toward the end of your life don't stop you from releasing God's purpose and blessing to the next generation. It's so easy when you're going through pain to be so introspective about it. Y'all with me? Pain is a bummer. And so, like Mary said, when you get old, things stop working. You have to slap them around, work, and God will help you. But make sure to keep your focus on empowering the generations behind you. God will strengthen you as an older person to share your wisdom and release a blessing to younger people. Point number two, generational healing is when God heals and restores what was lost and stolen from past generations. I don't have time, but I'll just give you a brief summation. The story of Joseph, there's so much written about him. It is a rich narrative of deep truth about the process and dealings of God. When Joseph was just 17, his older brothers betrayed him. They went and told their father he had been killed by a lion, but they actually sold him to the Ishmaelites who carried him to Egypt. He was bought as a slave at Potiphar's house. Now, for many years, up to almost two decades, when you have to bury or lose a child while you're still alive, that's the worst thing that can happen. Okay? It is the worst thing. And so he has a brokenness, the father, Jacob does. A woundedness that he lost his son, especially that one that he had believed God for. It came through his wife, Rachel. And when Joseph showed back up, Jacob came back alive. And Jacob said, I can't believe it. Not only do I get to see Joseph, I get to see his sons. And then he started prophesying. He said, come here, boys, Manasseh and Ephraim. You're mine now. Listen to me. Everything I wanted to give your father but couldn't, I'm going to give you. I'm going to heal the generational breach. Come on. Everything that one generation did not have, God gave the next one and repaired it. And there are two tribes called Ephraim and Manasseh. There's no tribe of Joseph. It literally happened as the man prophesied. So important. Joel 2:25, one of beautiful Mary and mine life verses, says this. God says, I will restore the years to you that the locust devoured, this army of locusts, taking the fruit, the leaf, the bark, the root, the entirety of the locusts that were described there didn't just eat the fruit. It destroyed the crop. There was nothing left. And God says, when life takes everything, I'm going to give everything back. I can restore what one year empties out, I can restore in another year. Now, this is so important because when people think their losses are permanent, they live in permanent grief. Huh? God has unfinished business. There are blessings and callings and inheritances in your family lineage that have never been received and completed. God is going to use you to heal and restore what the enemy stole from your family. So the children got back what the old man was carrying and what their father, what Joseph fought to obtain. I don't think anything motivated me more for a comeback than my children. Nothing did. You are the ones that will break and destroy every generational curse that has ever controlled and oppressed your family. You, my friend, are the curse breaker. Come on, I prophesied to one of the awesome young men today. You are the curse breaker. It stops here. I think we are too familiar with our family's negative behaviors as we are with the prophetic inheritance God's waiting to give us. You with me? The Holy Spirit will show you in your family what He has ordained and prepared and given for anyone to receive it. It's really there. It's from God. When I was just 18 years old, I tell this story all the time, but I've only lived one life and I only have so many stories. I was praying all night at Life Pacific Bible College. At that time in Glendale, California, it was at Angelus Temple. And I'm in a music room, a soundproof room, padded walls, just me and a piano, and I'm praying all night, like Friday night. And it's 2 or 3 in the morning, I'm laying on the floor. I went into those rooms because I prayed loud and just really cried out to God. And I had a sudden urge. I looked at the piano. Here's two things happened. I had this passion. Man, I wish I could play that thing. And then something hit me, a confidence, a boldness. I sat up, walked over to the piano, closed my eyes, and started weeping. And I played a song without lessons and talent and history. I played a song perfectly called Emmanuel. Emmanuel, Emmanuel. It was a big song. And God gave me the gift to play the piano. Now, here's what the Lord showed me. That just wasn't some arbitrary thing. The gift of music was an unopened present under the maiden family tree. And when I fasted and prayed, God showed me what was in my family. And I went and said, why not me? I'm going to be a piano player. Why not me? Listen, I opened a gift that my kids have taken way beyond me. Come on. I opened a gift. It's affected some people. You know? Some amazing worship has come out of this church for 35 years. It affected people. Why? It was waiting there. Oh, Holy Spirit, show us. Not just the curses we have to break. Show us the inheritances we're called to receive. Last point today, last point. The heavenly crisscross. God always has a wonderful soul-healing anointing and blessing to heal us from the pain of our past. But he has an even greater double portion anointing and blessing for our future. Now here's the concept. Joseph names his firstborn son Manasseh, which means to forget. And he said this, God's made me forget all my toil and all the pain of my father's house, betrayed by his older brothers, his heroes. And God healed him because that's how it works. So in 1998, and so the Lord said, Michael, would you like to be healed? I have the symptoms for 2.5 years of serious, chronic, often suicidal depression. And I said, yes, Lord, I'd like to be healed. Touch me. And he said, I can't heal you until you forget the people that hurt you. Nah, no amens there. He said, Michael, if you will forgive the people that have hurt you, I have preached this all over the world, I will make you forget the pain they've caused you. And I just to kind of sum, I did and he did. I did and he did. I did and he did. I forgave them all. Forgave them all. It's so great to have an enemies list with no one on it but the devil. Forgive them all. Pastor, what about evil people? Forgive them. What about people that steal? That guy stole $20 million from me. Forgive him. What about people that betray us? Forgive him. You know, you can still have boundaries with them. But unforgiveness is not a boundary. It's a toxic poison. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison expecting the other person to die. It doesn't work. Forgiveness is the master key that unlocks every prison's cell that hurt or pain has ever put us in. Forgiveness gets me out of what people put me into. Now, so the old man says this, man, Manasseh was wonderful. It's wonderful. There's no pain, trauma, injury in your past. There's no wound so deep and severe that your loving God can't heal it right now. How great is our God. He announced in his first sermon in Luke chapter 4, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. He did it then, he does it now. There's a massive anointing to heal the brokenness in us. But there's even a more massive anointing on our future. And the old man was saying, it's wonderful what God brought you out of, but it's going to be even better what God brings you into. And he laid his hand on Ephraim. And Ephraim means double portion fruitfulness. Ephraim is the reward for Manasseh. Fruitfulness is the reward for forgiveness. The devil will always try to trap you and trick you just before your breakthrough with an offense. What's he trying to do? Steal your breakthrough. Some of our worst pain comes before our biggest breakthroughs. Don't let the devil trick you into taking the bait of offense. It doesn't work. The promise of great fruitfulness awaits those who practice complete forgiveness. It's when I counsel people, people will, they'll say, yeah, I know we should forgive people, but this happened to me. While he's bleeding with nails in his hands and his feet, he said, Father, forgive them. Now, it usually takes me a little longer than that to forgive people. Forgiveness is so powerful. Pastor, when should I forgive? all the time. Who should I forgive? Everybody. See, if we're not careful, the culture is trying to pit us at war. But you can't have a fight with someone who won't fight back. I'm going to love you. We don't want your love. I don't care. I'm going to love you. You curse me, I will bless you. You hurt me, I will bless you. You accuse me, I won't accuse you back. Come on, when people call you names, don't call them names back. That's such a lower human fleshly place. Don't live there. Okay, I need to wrap this up. A couple more ideas. Unforgiveness will always shut the heaven over your life. A couple great verses. Zechariah 9 says this, "Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. For even today," Zechariah 9:12, "I will restore double to you." I just want you to look to someone and say double. Just say double. Okay, double. God says to people that have lost everything, "I'm not taking you back to where you were. I'm going to take you to where you've never been." Double. Double. Isaiah 61:7 says, "For all of your shame, I will give you double honor. In the land, they shall possess their portion. Instead of confusion, they shall receive their portion, their inherited portion. Therefore, in the land, their land, they shall possess double, and joy everlasting shall be theirs." God says double. I just want to pound this into you today. The devil will make you think you're never getting back what you've lost, but he's a liar. Double to you. Double to your family. Double to your business. Double to your ministry. Double restoration. Job 42:10 says this, "The Lord restored Job's losses." He lost everything. "When he prayed for his friends, indeed the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before." Hidden in the problems and pain of your past is a prophetic revelation of the promise and purpose of your future. Don't miss what God's going to do. Pastor, what's my destiny? Well, look at your history. It's a revelation of what God has for you in your destiny. There's always a greater anointing on your future than on your past. That double portion fruitfulness is something God's waiting to give this generation. For all your trouble, God's going to give you double. The greater the attack against you today, the greater the anointing that awaits you tomorrow. I want to pray this prayer for you. Would you just hold out your hands? The old man, patriarch Jacob, said, pray this prayer over Israel. May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. May God bless you with a double portion fruitfulness. May God bless you with the grace to forgive and the comfort to be healed. And I declare in the mighty name of Jesus, your story's not over. And there's a crisscross, a double portion. God's laying his hand on 2021. He's laying a hand on 2022. And he says, "I'm not done with the church. I'm not done with your family. I'm not done in your story. Let me show you what I can do. Don't worry about what they're doing. Let me show you what I can do." There's a double portion anointing for you. And lastly, I'd like to do this. All the people in this room that are 49 or younger, would you please stand to your feet? Thank you for seeking God as a young person. Pastor, I'm 40. That's young to me. Thank you for pursuing God in your generation. I want to say this as an older man, 62. I've dedicated my life to try to pour everything I have into you before I leave. Your generations. To the folks sitting around these lovely younger people, would you stretch your hands toward them? Father, we pray the prayer of Jacob over these double portion fruitfulness. Come on, right now. We pray, God, for such an avalanche of favor, wisdom, and grace that these young men and women For such a time as this, you gave them life. You gave their family the stewardship of birthing them. And you've called them to be difference makers, world shakers, history makers in this generation. And so, God, we say as older people, you're going to do it, young people. You're going to make it not just through this year. You're going to finish this year in victory, in faith. God's not going to fail you. You're going to pray bigger prayers than you've ever prayed. God's going to heal you from family heartache, from relational heartache, from things you've been through. There's a Manasseh for you. There's an Ephraim for you. And there's a portion from God reserved for you. And there's never been a generation like you. In all of history, there's never been a generation like you. You are the ones God's waited for. And the devil can't take from you what God has promised you. In Jesus' name. Come on, someone, you've got a shout of praise. Everyone stand. Come on, give God a shout of praise, everybody. God's given me an unusual love for my grandchildren. Can't explain it. If I go too long without seeing them, I'm like an addict. I need a grandchild fix. And I know, to me, it's God saying, Michael, I know you lost a lot. I know you went through a decade of hell. But I'm going to give back to them what was taken from you. I know that's happening in my story, and I know it can happen in yours. No matter what it looks like, God's not finished. Prayer team, would you please join me down front? Thank you, church, for listening to me today. Thank you for worshiping so passionately. Thank you, Worship Nation. Man, Moses in that song, let heaven come, whatever it was so wonderful. As we dismiss today, just a couple of things. When you're in a service like this and you feel God working on you, don't just race out the doors. We will keep the doors open here as long as there's people wanting prayer. And my encouragement to you is, when God's dealing with you, follow that up. Let someone pray with you. There's more happening maybe than what is obvious. And these three things, if you're maybe new to the church or visiting, or maybe you've been coming a little while, kind of checking us out, if you've never prayed the simple prayer of giving your heart to Jesus and receiving his grace that forgives your sin, we'd be so honored to pray with you today. Don't go home today if you don't know Jesus. If you've been away from him in your walk, make today your coming home day. If you need physical healing, emotional, mental healing, we'd be honored to pray for you. And maybe you've just been through such a difficult storm and you feel overwhelmed by it. So proud of you for coming today. Let us pray for you. We love to pray for people. If you need prayer for those reasons or any other reason, would you please join us just for 90 seconds more, church? Would you worship with us?